for the City of Morro Bay. And I look, and we do have a quorum. Our chairman is missing today, so I will be filling in as the chairman. Can we first start with a moment of silence? Thank you. And if we could go ahead and stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay. Is there any announcements from anyone on the board?
Sure. Since I'm disappearing for a while, I thought I'd bring up a few things I've been meaning to mention. When I drive down south on Main Street past 101 Highway 1, mm-hmm. about four or five times people will come to a stop and pull out, forcing me to, you know, brake or veer. So is a merge lane possible to put in down there at the southbound exit of Highway 1 at southbound Main? Just something to think about.
It's where you cross under Highway 1 right there, and you're near Quintana Road, not quite there.
Yeah, and usually it looks like it's a young mother who's on her mission to go someplace, and then she just looks and goes.
Any thoughts, Rob?
I'm sorry, where's that again?
It's southbound Highway 1 at Main Street.
Okay.
Going to the southbound lane of Main Street.
So southbound ramp where it's right turn only when you get off the...
No, it's a right or left. Because you have a choice of either going across the thing, you turn left to get go northbound on Main, or you go turn right to go south.
I think that left turn movement is prohibited. What's that?
Yeah, you can't turn left anymore.
You can't turn left there.
Yeah.
That's fixed.
Where?
Right there by Limos,
yeah. So
yeah, there's no left turns allowed.
Yeah,
there.
Well, it's the right turn which nearly gets me, because they just kind of come to a stop, pull out, and without looking to see if there's anybody.
I think he's looking for an acceleration lane on the right side of the people making the right turn off of Highway 1 onto Main, heading southerly.
Up the hill. I'm not sure if we have right away there, but
it's a portion of one, but it's something to discuss.
Okay.
With Caltrans.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry, I thought you meant on the off-ramp of Highway 1 onto Main.
That's right.
That'd be outside the right-of-way. He's talking between Quintana that goes back into the plant and, you know, you're making a right turn off the southbound. And I think he's looking for an acceleration.
give somebody a place to go when they decide to make a right turn without looking.
Sight distance a little limited there, I realize.
I think it meets all
sight distance. I'm sure it meets it's still limited. Yeah. I know what John's talking.
Yeah, but it's not so much that as just inattentive drivers is what I'm dealing with.
Okay. I'll talk with Caltrans about that.
And I see you haven't heard anything on 3166 Main. And
no, I'll check with Community Development.
Okay, yeah, I haven't heard anything either. Last month, nothing had been decided. And then Major Q, this comes up from the CFAC meeting I had yesterday, and they were discussing what to do with the fire station property payment. And it's not clearly Major Q money, but it might be. And it probably would be best to kind of treat it as Major Q. And so the question at the time was, should we pay off the bond, or should we actually, which is like 3.5%, 3.75%, or should they pay off the PERS cost? And the PERS brings up some issues it's personnel issue, it's not property. Then I pointed out, you know, if you spent that first the $44,000 on payment, your payment management plan, you get about a 5 times benefit from the thing. Why don't you consider doing that? So you're, Jennifer's supposed to talk to you a little bit about, you know, if we had an extra, well, first of $44,000, which they're looking at now, but later on it's going to be, what is it, about $700,000, $750,000?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that would be a relatively simple way to deal some with the, you know, the real issues you have with payment out here, because it would definitely, you know, it's kind of flying under the colors of Measure Q anyway. And those were the three things I wanted to kind of talk about while I still had it in my mind. So, thank you.
Does anybody else have any announcements? Okay, yeah. Moving along. Are there any presentations, Rob?
No.
Oh, okay. So we can move to the public comment period, although I don't see anybody in the crowd tonight, so I'll go ahead and skip over to the consent calendar. Does anybody have anything on the consent calendar that you don't agree with, or can I get a motion to go ahead and approve as stated?
I motion that we approve the consent calendar.
Is there a second? Okay, we got a motion and a second, and all in favor? Aye. Okay, moving on next to the director's report. And at this point, I'll turn it over to you, Rob.
Okay. Added our current activities, highlights of our activities for this last month, including some tree work, comments from the Morro Bay Citizens Bicycle Committee, update on utility operations. And we'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Okay. I'll start with you, John. Do you have any questions?
Yeah,
no questions.
Okay. And you, Jan?
I just have some clarification questions. On page 3, they're simple, real easy. We're talking about the trees, trimmed and lifted the canopies of 2 trees, at Downing, Bolton, 5 trees on Morro Bay Boulevard and Harbor. Where is Morro Bay Boulevard / Harbor? They run parallel, don't they?
Correct. It would just be in between Morro Bay Boulevard and Harbor.
So oh, it's between, the, on both of those streets combined, there were 5 trees?
No, some 2 trees between it. I didn't get the exact address here.
Okay. I thought maybe it was up by City Park or something. Okay, on page 4, when you're talking about the consolidated maintenance, the last one in the facilities, removed a rocking toilet, cut out broken bolts and replaced, reinstalled the toilet at Ciano Realty. Does the city own that building? Why was the city repairing Ciano?
That's 781 Market. We were, that's the property the city owns that we are leasing to Ciano Realty. For in their interim use, and we had to get it ready for occupation, so it had to be occupiable.
So is that the DeStasio? What was it?
Used to be DeStasio's,
oh,
yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that. And then on the Morro Bay Transit, when they participated in the rideshare week with a tri-transit Thursday, was there much of a response to this?
We'll have to get an update from Janine next time. She's not here.
Okay. Well, then on we go. I was interested in that because I ride the bus and I like, sometimes there are a lot of people on it and sometimes. Okay. Page 12, toward the bottom, the wastewater treatment. You moved approximately 200 tons of dried sludge from the solar drying beds to the sludge storage containment area in preparation for the annual haul-off. Where is the haul-off?
So every year we actually contract with a composting facility. We get numerous bids, but last few years it's been Liberty Compost. So they actually come out and they truck it off. It's out towards the valley, so they compost it and actually sell it as fill material.
Oh, okay.
Liberty's the one out in Kern County, isn't it?
Yeah. I believe that's correct.
Oh.
Yeah.
On the engineering and capital projects, I don't really understand this. On the Sunset subdivision, Sunset North of Highway 1, inspection for the end of a one-year maintenance period. What is a one-year maintenance period? Is this part of the process before they can build? Or?
No, it's after the public improvements are complete. A subdivision will bond or guarantee that they're for the maintenance of those improvements for 1 year. So we inspect those public improvements near the end of 1 year and see if there's any repairs that have to be done.
So this subdivision is already there, Sunset subdivision?
Yes, it's on Sunset between Highway 41 and Hill Street. It's the houses are going up right now, but the public improvements have been in for a while.
But it's a very small subdivision, right?
I think it's six units, so it's rather tiny, yeah.
Okay. And
maybe not by Morro Bay standards. It might be a big subdivision here.
And then down at the commercial developments, the Harbor View Hotel commercial plant is in the planning review. Where is this? Is this Rose's Landing?
No, that is at the bottom of Harbor Street on the east side of the street in the Bluff area, so between Front Street and...
Oh, it's down by Frankie and Lola's?
It's behind the gallery.
Yeah. Oh, behind the gallery.
Yeah. It takes up pretty much that whole block there, uphill from there.
The gallery. I'm thinking of galley or
Fiona.
Gallery. Oh. There's a, okay. And it's on the east side of the road? I mean the...
It'd be east of Front.
It'd be like across from the coffee pot or something around in that?
No, area? It's right behind Fiona Blue Gallery.
Oh. I didn't know that.
Wavelengths, Fiona Blue Gallery.
Oh, okay. I didn't know things could be built on the Bluff area.
There is a section of the Bluff area that construction is allowed in. It's kind of the central Bluff area that construction is allowed in. Mm.
And that's all. Thank you.
Stuart?
Okay. First question is, do we run any risk of PG&E shutting our power off here like they did with 160,000 people last weekend? Or is that not an issue because we have a transfer station here?
I think they reserve the right to shut off the power here whenever the wind speeds exceed their threshold. And I think it's 30 miles an hour sustained, something like that. If there's a risk of to their facilities, they'll shut off power.
So they're set up so they can still do it to us, even though this transfer station is here. Okay. There on page 11, there's a comment here about respond to 4 hours call out for plant chlorine adjustment. Is that done electronically? Does it page somebody, or how do you manage the calls on that, Joe?
Yeah, it's an automatic alarm. So we actually have our chlorine limits, set well in advance of us having a problem, and then we have somebody respond out. Typically, it's calibration with the old chlorine analyzer that we have. So you'll also see in the report that we're pilot testing a new chlorine analyzer because that is a very routine occurrence, and it's on every PWAB report. There's 3 to 4 of those every month. So we're looking at some new equipment to provide tighter control on our chlorine feed for our disinfection system.
Clean, painted, and replaced the main seal on influent pump number 1. Is that something that's done on a regular maintenance thing, or do you just wait till something happens to a pump and then you go out and do it?
No, on the those influent pumps, we do normal maintenance on it, but the influent seals are mechanical seals. I believe I have a picture on that one. We actually have to pull the... Well, I didn't put it on this month, but we actually have to pull the motor out itself to put it. So when a seal fails, it just becomes a stream of water. Actually, not a big problem. It's just something that we have to address from time to time. Typically, we get 5 to 10 years out of a seal.
Thank you. Page 15, Sonic Restaurant, Rob. How are we doing their approval? I'm hungry for a hamburger from them.
Well, first they have to pick up their plan check comments to respond to them. I don't think there's much left for them to respond to, but they're busy with other things in the valley, I think.
I assume they're staying clear where you plan the roundabout in the future.
They have a minor, I think, a 75-foot square foot dedication.
Oh, okay. So that's being dedicated as part of this development?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Wi-Fi loan, how are we doing with the loan thing? You mentioned it last time, and we put in for an approval process. What's happening with...
Oh, for the WIFIA.
WIFIA. Yeah, I think it means WIFIA.
WIFIA loan process. It's plugging along at the federal rate. The one thing about the EPA loan is that won't be funded until we show the project is fully funded. So that we'll sign those loan papers when we sign the loan papers for the SRF loan, the State Revolving Fund through the State Water Resources Control Board. We're pretty close to a complete application. We have a deadline of December 31st to get that in, to get on the next funding period for the state board. So we'll have it well ahead of that application deadline.
Can I ask real quick, though, on the loan monies from the state, are they going to be tied to that bond measure that's on the November ballot?
No, this is part of the State Revolving Fund, So it's federal money that's kind of cleansed, being allocated by the state. So it is funded by through the payback of these loans.
So we're not beholden to that bond having necessarily to pass.
No, we'll probably try to apply for as many grant programs. That are offered through that new bond measure, along with we have an application in for Title 16 money through Bureau of Reclamation, just waiting for Title 16 to be reauthorized by Congress.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Are you done, Stu?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Chris?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you to the couple organizations that have joined the Adopt a Park program. Morro Cove HOA has adopted a few areas near their location, and it looks like Morro Bay and Bloom has taken on quite a bit. I just want to thank them and for their help around the city.
Thank you for pointing that out, and we'll arrange a presentation on those adoptive programs here in the near future.
Okay. I only have one, and it's regarding the wastewater new WRF plant. And with the Prop 218 hearing in the rearview mirror, so to speak, has it been tied down exactly how you plan to get across town now from the new lift station, the Forest Main running out to the WRF?
So our design engineers, Waterworks Engineering,
right,
is very close to completing their project design report that will lay out the alternatives and their recommended alternatives.
So they're going to do a couple of concepts of...
Actually, I think there's really only one real viable lowest cost alternative left, and I'll describe it. It leaves the lift station location near the existing plant, goes east on Atascadero Road to the shoulder of the southbound on-ramp of Highway 1. In the shoulder of that ramp until we get fairly near the creek. Then we dive off the shoulder, install a pipe bridge across Morrow Creek, then parallel the bike path. We should, with this construction, end up with a new bike path that's above the elevation of Willow Creek, so we don't end up with a...
So it's going to run along the, I'll call it the east or the north side of Lila Kaiser Park, pretty much.
Yeah, but out of the park property and in Caltrans's right of way.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, so you'll be in the right of way
until
itself.
We get easterly of the, or west, southwesterly of the creek, and then we go back on to the bike path easement along the power plant property till the intersection of Quintana and Main Street, cross Main, all the way down Quintana to South Bay.
So you do plan to keep it in Quintana?
Quintana is the lowest cost option.
Oh, okay.
Likely a second pump station on the city-owned property next to Limos.
Oh, okay.
There. Rather than having a giant lift station at the down at the bottom end, an intermediary pump station halfway there saves.
So are both pump stations going to confluent into the same force main to go across?
We'll probably have two force mains, mains,
okay.
For operational reasons and to handle higher flows.
Oh, okay.
And then onto the plant site up South Bay Boulevard and through an easement crossing the Shepherd property, which is a piece of property that surrounds the convalescent care retirement facility,
okay.
And then on to the South Bay Boulevard property itself.
So you're going to cross under Highway 1 prior to South Bay Boulevard?
We'll probably cross under the structure there. Caltrans is amenable to crossing under the structure. We were looking at crossing kind of at an oblique angle, except that Caltrans has a deep storm drain line there, and we would need to be under that storm drain line. The one that they just repaired, they did that emergency repair where we got the sinkhole in the middle of the highway. There. So.
And there's enough clearance under there from the abutments of the bridge.
Yeah, we'll have to horizontally directionally drill.
Oh,
okay. Under, they won't let us open cut under the structure.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okie doke. Thank you.
So, Rob, this, if it goes up Quintana, is it going to be in that space between Highway 1 and Quintana? It's not going to be...
It'll likely be in the road.
It will be in the road, so the road will be...
So there will be traffic control... I won't fool anybody. It'll be a mess, but we'll do the best to. We'll never completely close Quintana. There'll always be at least one way traffic.
But allowed. You're going to shade the north side of the
yes.
Quintana
yeah.
Road
we'll,
away from the business.
Yeah, we don't have in that shoulder area a lot of right of way. A lot of that's private property. There's a strip of private property in between Quintana and the highway. Why that's there, I have no idea, but it's...
So you're going to be on the business side of Quintana?
Side closest to, no,
not
the side closest to Highway 1.
Likely the
side
closest to the highway.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's north.
Yeah.
I start getting a little mixed
it's,
up.
It's four pipes, so it'll be a fairly large trench construction. It'll probably be a vertically phased construction, so one set of pipes will be ahead of the other. So we'll trench for that, backfill, and because of the offsets required to meet health department requirements.
Right. Yeah, because one's going to be potable coming back.
Yep, coming back will be the potable line.
Right. Okay.
Along with the ocean outfall line.
Now, as I remember with Waterworks, they weren't contracted to do the line coming back for the IPR. Has that been changed?
We'll do a change order to add that to their scope because it makes sense to have them
design with the rest of it. Okay, good deal.
And where does the potable line come back to? Does it come back to the lift station or does it come into the where you're going to in the
It goes back to the recharge areas, which
in
will be finalized with the GSI work that council authorized last meeting.
It's over near the Taco Bell area, isn't it?
That's one of the areas. I think the more viable from a constructability standpoint is over on the west side of the highway.
Oh.
Kind of between the bike path and our city wells on either on Dynergy property or on city property.
Oh, okay. So you do have wells over on that side also.
That those would probably, if it works out from a hydrogeo standpoint, I think those are much easier to get to and construct than on the east side.
Oh, okay.
There's not a lot of access to the better recharge areas on the east side.
I thought it had to stand their ground for a certain amount of months, and that's why I thought you were going upstream.
It does. 2 months is the minimum time.
Oh. Okay.
And but we can still get 2 months on the west side of the highway.
Oh, you can.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Good deal. Okay. Any other questions regarding the director's report?
Oh. A couple things popped up.
Sure.
One is this chlorine.
Oh, Mike.
This chlorine analyzer, is that a piece of equipment which would be used at the new plant, or is that going to be just left?
We will utilize chlorine residual analyzers at the new plant. What type will probably be different. The type that we are utilizing at the old plant are types for high solids. Because we don't have clean water at the new plant, essentially, we'll be measuring chlorine residual in water that resembles drinking water, 100% clearer than what we currently discharge. We currently discharge, based on the old plant performance, relatively dirty water in comparison, so it's a completely different type of meter.
Okay, so in other words, there'll be a new meter there at the wharf?
Correct.
And then is there... How much of the existing equipment at the old plant can be recycled?
Very, very little to almost none. You know, some of our standby pumps that are trailer-mounted, obviously, we look at those. We have trailer-mounted pumps for wet weather that are at the plant itself. Those will be moved, and we'll be able to retrofit those to be standby pumps either at the new facility or at lift stations and standby generators. But the actual pumps themselves, most of those are well over 30 years old, so very little of the physical equipment will be reused.
So I guess this is for Rob. What sort of discussions, or have there been any discussions with Cayucas about the preliminary discussions to dismantle the existing plant?
None as of yet.
Okay. And then the last one which popped up was... are we going to try to use some of that cleaned-up water we put on the west side of Highway 1 later on for water supply, or is that gone, basically, where we're putting it?
So it'll be all used for water supply. So it'll be put into our groundwater basin and extracted out through our existing groundwater wells. Mm-hmm. And either run through our brackish water RO plant if the nitrate levels are still high, or directly into the distribution system after disinfection.
So it sounds like we're not going to be able to use the water to rehabilitation of the water, the aquifer for nitrates be something you could do with that water later on, or?
Yeah, that's part of this add-on scope or work for GSI is a fate and transport analysis to mm-hmm. determine how long we have before the nitrates are down to levels where we don't have to provide treatment anymore for that groundwater.
So you're not going to be able to inject this water into Chorro Creek then?
We'll be injecting it into the Moro aquifer and extracting it from our Moro wells after it's been in the ground for a couple months as needed to supplement our water supply.
But not Chorro Creek?
Not Chorro. Chorro wasn't as a viable option.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Is that it for everybody?
Yeah, I've got some stuff.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. On staff report, it says review One Water plan chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 7. On 1,
Wait, are you jumping into the next item?
Are we okay on that?
No, well, I mean, I'll close the director's report and move on.
Are we done with the director's report?
Yeah. I was going to go ahead. So B2 on the thing is the review of the draft one water plan. I'm going to bring it up, and this is more for the public at large who may be watching the show. This is a continuation of a plan that was discussed last month at the PWAB meeting, and it's basically it ties the water, the wastewater in our town, as well as the storm drainage into a plan. It was commissioned to Corolo Engineers to provide a plan for the city, and we'll be discussing the secondary aspects. We've covered it somewhat last month in detail, and we're going to go ahead and finish it up. And first of all, I was going to turn it over to Rob to make his presentation, unless you do have a question in advance.
Well, I don't have much of a presentation. Oh, okay. Unfortunately, Eric Caceres couldn't be here. He had a family issue that came up. So we hadn't planned on revisiting that presentation yet again. This is just another opportunity to provide input into the plan, and we're planning on bringing this plan again to City Council for finalizing next month.
Oh, okay.
So the plan is quite the tome. It's I think there's a couple of copies on the desk there. It's a couple of inches thick. What this plan is, as Mr. Shively mentioned, is a combination of several resource documents. It's our water system master plan, our sanitary sewer master plan, and our storm drain master plan rolled into one document, along with an analysis of some water supply options. So we went through those in great detail. I think the presentation was something over 2.5 hours last time. This time we just wanted to give the board the opportunity to add any more comments that you might have before we bring it forward to City Council. So at this point, I'll turn it over back to the chair, Mr. Shively.
And I'll start with Stuart. You got any questions?
And I'll start with Rob. Figure 1.2, map dotted lines. There's some broken lines on that map, and it talks about our service area encompasses and responsibilities regarding this area. Does that include police, fire, you know, building permits, water, all the rest of the stuff that goes with our city in that the service area? What is a service area?
The service area is where we provide water to. So it's basically the city limits and a few properties beyond the city limits. The scope of this report did not deal with police, fire, and other services. It's just water and sewer services.
So we don't have responsibility for taking care of that. It's the Harbor Patrol and the rest of the guys out there.
Well, like I said, the scope of this report was just for water and sewer. I'd have to, again, I'm looking at this on a tiny screen here. Those broken lines out in the bay are leaf sites.
Yeah, they go
water leaf sites.
And then they go back and go out.
We provide fire and water, fire and police protection, harbor services. But the purpose of this report was not to identify those services. It was just water, sewer, and storm.
Then we don't do it on the sand spit. That's the harbor's responsibility.
So we don't provide water or sewer out to the sand spit at all.
Police or fire.
We have responded. I don't know that there's been a fire out on the sand spit, but it's beyond the scope of this document.
What they said yesterday was that the harbor department is officially a police force, so they do provide police protection for the sand spit.
So that doesn't cost us anything. They take care of that.
The Harbor Department?
Yeah.
Well, it costs the city, but yes.
You mentioned a previous water master plan. I looked around on the website and couldn't find it.
It predates the...
1.3.1?
1990s.
It predates the internet, so just...
Yeah.
Okay.
1996 or 7, I think it was published.
There's also in that in the paperwork there a 1.3.3 previous storm drain master plan. So that's predated too, isn't
1983,
it?
I think,
yeah,
was that
okay,
document.
That's what's going on with that. Okay, that's all I have. You pretty well answered the rest of them.
Okay, Chris, do you have anything?
Nothing at the moment.
Okay, how about you, John?
Yeah, I've got a few. Thank you for sending that email with the responses to...
You're welcome.
Basically, the answer to most of the stuff there, I had a few more as I took a look at the report. I've got one on Chapter 4, 4.2.1. And the question I have for that is, could we make some sort of statement of the general condition of our sanitary sewer system someplace, something which the non-engineering people would say, is it serving its purpose, or is it so dilapidated that there are failures which we're expecting? Kind of comment.
Yeah, we can add something like that in there, and it is not that it's without its problems, like any sanitary sewer collection system, but it is providing sanitary sewer collection.
Relatively adequately.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's what the impression I had. It just some people were challenging me on that. Chapter 6, 6.4. And that email I sent you, it's item 1 under Chapter 6, the one I sent you, for whatever that's worth. Let me see if I can find it.
Okay,
so where'd that go?
Not on that.
Okay, yeah. All right, so... could you, somewhere in this section, reference the appropriate tables in Chapter 8?
Yes.
And then Table 6.6 and 7, which I think is, like, not far away. That's actually the same table, just spread over two pages.
I'm not quite there yet. Hold on just a second.
It's pages 6-28.
Oh. Let me look at this hard copy. It'll be much easier.
No, 628 is the 628 and 629. Is that supposed to be the same table?
It's actually different.
Page numbers out the bottom.
They are different tables.
They have look like they have the same title on them, is the reason why I asked.
A second look on it, it should be the same table. Okay. It's just a continued listing of the same thing. So it's a table that stretches over two pages. I think it'll be clearer
if we just called it one table name rather than two tables?
That's what I was thinking. Okay, chapter 7, page 746. I would really love to have like a line or a paragraph before you go into all of your discussion there in 7.5 stating what the recommendation is. So we know where you're going with it and we know what we're looking for. I, after a while, figured out what you're trying to say, but it was, you know, like I say, it's buried in the middle of that six-inch paragraph in the middle of the line.
So. And I think we also need, we didn't quite get the executive summary like the way I wanted it to be, so we should pull out all those recommendations into that, too.
Yes, I appreciate that. Okay, then chapter 8. Okay, first comment I had was, and this more or less comes from my CFAC meeting yesterday, because what would make life easier for Jennifer and probably for you when you start dealing with your budgets is to have this table where you can just pull the information off, give it to Jennifer so she can plug it into the budget, and you don't have to say, these are the words we're going to use unless we know we're changing them.
Yes. The one thing about our capital section of the budget, we actually, Public Works actually puts that part together. So we'll be pulling, we'll have a capital improvement sheet for each of the items, and then that will feed back into the table. I mean, we work cooperatively with Sandy and Jen on that, but I think you're right. In the fee study, we have probably a simpler table that will adapt for the budget purposes.
Okay, yeah, and that probably should be part of this one water plan. So
yeah.
Because in the end, that's where you want this information to get put into the city's process, is make sure it gets into the budget correctly. Also, you might talk to her to find out what when she sets up an account for paying or for receiving funds or paying funds out, she may have some things which would help you guys in order to make sure it goes seamlessly into the finance account.
Yeah, I think with the implementation of our new PO system, that'll go a lot more seamless on these capital, because we'll create a PO for the capital project. With a maximum value that we won't be able to charge beyond, and be able to track those dollars back to that PO. Much easier than our current tracking system without a PO generated.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Jennifer's talked to me, and did she bring you guys up to speed on it, or is this something additional you need to talk to her about?
I haven't talked to her about this since she had her CFAC meeting.
Well, you wouldn't have it, and I did not discuss this per se with Jennifer until I saw this and went over some of the budget things they were talking about.
No, we haven't had a conversation about that.
So it'd probably be worth a little coordination with the finance department.
Oh, definitely.
To make sure things will go back and forth a little bit easier. And it's kind of, so you can say, we're going to do this, Jennifer, and you just send her the information.
And council allocates those funds, and we appropriate them accordingly.
Okay. And my last comment is on page 8.6, 8.5.3. I had only one minor question on that. When they were developing the cost estimates, they were using engineering services or wherever they found their things there. What was the local area adjustment factor? If I remember how those things work is, you get a price there and then you have to go back and say, for this area here, we're going to multiply it by a certain number to get it to a representative.
I'm going to have to check back with Corolla. That's embedded in their calculations. So we'll state that, those assumptions, in the text there.
Yeah. Okay. And so that basically is all the questions I had. You answered most of the other things which on that prior email you sent me today. Thanks.
Okay, Jan.
Excuse me again, but I just need some definition clarification. I was reading in Chapter 6 about the wastewater collection systems. And the term wastewater, does that apply to all the water, the storm drain, the sewer water, everything? Because when they're talking about some places where the sewer system, where there are flow restrictions and occur, and it creates a bottleneck, so is that... That's not the waste water from the house. It's going to the sewer system water, or is that just? Do they somehow get commingled in the pipes with the storm runoff, the storm drain?
Not intentionally. So we do not have a combined system here. Some cities do have a combined system where storm flows are intentionally mixed with sanitary sewer flows, and it all goes to the same plant.
I think that's back east.
Well, yeah, so, and there's a few places that way. Sacramento.
So I did notice that there were some references using sanitary sewer pipes.
Yeah. So the stormwater that makes it into this sanitary sewer collection system, the human waste side of the sewer as opposed to the storm sewer system, is through direct inflow. So it inflows in through a couple of different ways. Through leaking manhole lids, so it can pour in through the top if a street is flooded. There are a few, and we're eliminating them as much as possible, direct connections where somebody may have tied their roof gutters directly into the sanitary sewer system. We find that when we do smoke testing, the smoke comes out the roof drains. And those are examples of inflow. Infiltration is when it's the groundwater rises above the level of the pipe, and there are cracks in the pipe, and the water seeps into the pipe. So that's how stormwater or rainwater gets into the sanitary sewer.
But in general, then, when you're talking about the city's collection system of wastewater, talking about the average dry weather flows and the peak wet weather flows, you're talking about
sewage. And the incidental storm rainwater or storm flows that make it in either through infiltration or inflow. So not purposefully, we don't purposefully route storm flows into the sanitary sewer system, but we have to account for that water that makes it in there. That's why we have different flow values that different things are designed flow. So you have an average daily flow through across the year. Very little is designed for that. That's just a nameplate for the plant, basically. Right. It's a 1 MGD plant. You have your peak dry weather flows. That's typically during the summertime when the town is full, maybe 4th of July weekend, would be a good example of a peak dry weather flow, where everybody flushes at the same time. And then peak wet weather flows would be maybe a rainy day in January or February, where that water...
At the same time.
it's not so much people are flushing, it's just that rainwater is making it into the sanitary system. And we design different things to... handle those flows. So
when they're talking in this book, when it's talking about the water coming within 5 feet of the manhole cover, that is sanitary sewer.
That is sanitary sewer. So we would allow the in peak wet weather conditions the collection system to back up, but not back up any higher than 5 feet below the ground surface above that pipe. So it's surcharging or backing up into the system
if we designed for a pipe flowing just full, so just to the top of the pipe, there would be many more pipe replacements in town than if you allow it to surcharge. That's for existing systems. Now, when you design for it, let's say there's a new subdivision that's more than six lots in town that has their own collection system added into it. You would design that collection system so it's flowing probably 90% pipe full or three-quarters pipe full. So that you don't plan on surcharging, but to use the resources that we have efficiently, we can't replace every pipe in town.
So, speaking of replacing pipes, where they're talking about they have to be bigger and stuff, and pointing out the intersection, like for example at 41 and Main Street, and in the flood areas there, the water. That's rainwater that's flooding, that's getting into the collection system, right?
The pipes there have a problem.
That's not the sanitary sewer overflowing, hopefully.
Sure, just those pipes have a problem both during dry weather flows, peak dry weather flows, and peak wet weather flows, and I'm going to let Joe, maybe he can explain it a little better than I'm.
So a good way to think about it, any drop of water, no matter how it gets into the system, is sewage. So it doesn't matter if it comes from a rain event, somebody turning on their water hose and flooding their backyards over the top of a manhole. As soon as it makes it into the sanitary sewer system, it's sewage. So if it comes out anywhere over the manhole rim, it is sewage overflowing, not storm water, not anything else. So that's the way we look at it.
But, okay, so that sewage is overflowing, though, can be a mix of everything.
Yeah, like I said, it doesn't matter what makeup of that water is or how it got into the system, be it rainwater, be it the potable water supply, someone turning on a fire hose or a water hose. As soon as it enters the sanitary sewer system and mixes with wastewater from your toilets and your fixtures in your house, it is now all considered sewage.
So then that brings me back to my first question, sort of. Does the stormwater drains, do they go into the sanitary sewer pipes?
No.
No, they go to the ocean.
They go to either the creeks or directly to the ocean.
Thank you.
Well, indirectly. There's a lot of spots where we have, for example, the hillside that's kind of above and east of the highway from Cloisters, it goes through... there's a big pond in Cloisters that water filters through before it hits what's called the Western Playa, sort of in storm events becomes a lagoonish area.
So that's how that pond gets filled, from stormwater.
From stormwater, yes.
Oh, okay.
I assume they did that as an LID type of design, or was it?
It was pre-LID.
Oh, okay.
It was a landscape feature.
Oh, okay.
We're taking credit for it as an LID feature after the fact, but...
I only have a...
Well, that brings up another question. On your CIP, you've got several sewer projects. Is the one... It looks like you want to get to the sewer there in Beachcomber and get that replaced. You want to have that done before the sewage plant comes online? Is that the current plan?
Either as it comes online or shortly thereafter. I mean, that's one of the first of the projects that we have listed to do that.
So is most of that because there's a displacement in a joint or something?
I think it's joint displacements. It's clay pipe too, so there's some cracks. There's also improper service connections there. It was past practice was the plumber would take his hammer and knock a hole in the top of the pipe and stick the lateral in and maybe grout it, maybe pack it
not.
With newspaper and backfill it. That was kind of the – we're still paying for some of those sins of the past.
Okay. That's the sort of stuff which we're going to be doing repair and replace type things
yes.
throughout the system.
Yeah, the other probably the major project that we'll need to work on is the line in Main Street.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. I only have a few questions, and it's mainly going to be in regard to Chapter 7 and the alternatives. And the first is, in the overall, just the document in general, I think it's a well-written document, Rob, and I think it honestly needs some form of executive summary up near the front. This is a lot of information here, and I think for the decision makers, you might do yourself a favor covering that aspect of it. Jumping into the alternatives itself, and what I'm looking at is Table 7.16 and 7.17, and it talks of the different alternatives, the weighting, and which ones make the most sense. And I look at the ones that probably got the best score, and I assume the higher number means a better score, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And 2D and 2E come in, and I guess I have a real concern. Well, I have two concerns with 2D and 2E, because it's predicated on the fact that you could actually pump the Choro water. And that's only predicated on if you have a flow rate passing through there at the point in time you do it. And I did talk a little bit with Joe earlier about nitrate removal. What concerns me if you go into nitrate treatment is, while it does remove nitrates, if you wind up busting the TDS for the state, you know, the 1,000 nitrate removal, it may help you a little bit, but it ain't going to help you a whole lot if the TDS is for other reasons. And I guess the question is, RO removes it all, where nitrate removal only removes nitrate. I realize it's a cheaper alternative for treatment, but I thought it was kind of funny it weighed out as the highest number, or, you know, if I was reading this in a vacuum, I'd say that was the preferred way to go because it sounds cheaper, but A, you're not guaranteed you're going to get the Choro water. And if you look at that thing on page 7-2 where you have how much the percentage of where the supply source comes from, 2E and 2D don't even count in state water. So what you're assuming is you're going to be able to use everything you can pull from the Choro to make up the difference. I just have a little problem with, you know, if I was reading it, you know, just as the average layman, I'd say, well, why the heck aren't you going with those? But I understand why you wouldn't. That's the one thing that just really kind of caught my eye in the whole thing. I mean, I see the IPR ones, the 4A and 4B, and then the second one I have concern with is just this whole discussion we brought up last time about the attorney, your city attorney, saying basically you're going to have to buy the state water regardless. And I think the city needs to, you know, make some steps to figure out where you could peddle this stuff, whether it's not back through the CCWA or DWR. I'm not sure which one actually, you know, forces the issue. But there's got to be other people within the county as slow, because you're working in a microcosm of just slow counties allotment, that you'd be able to trade this off or something if you're going to use the wastewater treatment plant's water here. You know, you'd be able to maybe trade that off for some reason to one of the neighboring cities that don't have this opportunity. I think these are things the city should be looking at now, you know, rather than wait until the point in time that, you know, and hope it all, you know, comes out in the wash in the end. Those are my only statements on it. I assume tonight you're not looking for any recommendations of, like, which alternative to go with or things of that nature. Okay.
You know, just to add on to your discussion, one way that the city of Santa Maria kind of works around the selling of state water, they provide water back to Napomo.
Right, exactly.
But it's what they call municipal mix. Yeah. So it's a mixture of, it kind of launders the state water and it becomes Santa Maria water because they blend it with other water supplies that they have and they sell that water to Napomo.
Yeah, but it would seem to me, even if it's somebody within Slo County itself, another purveyor needing water, it wouldn't even have to go back to the DWR because the only contracting agency with the state is Slo County.
Slo County.
And we're just sub-letters, so to speak, and I assume that's how the other people within Slo County that get it at the same time. It seems to me you could cut a deal on the side.
So one of the issues is if you're an existing state water customer, that's fairly easy.
Yeah.
So if, let's say, Oceano needed more water, we could supply our allocation for them. And, well, they're probably not a good example.
No, because you'd have to sell it cheaper than cheap.
If the Men's Colony, because they're on the Chorro Valley Pipeline, needed additional water, it would be easy to swap with them. The problem is an outside Arroyo Grande, they didn't buy into state water. City of San Luis, they didn't buy into state water. A lot of the member agencies want to be, if they get supplied state water, they want to recover all that investment in the 20-plus years of capital that we've all paid for that.
So, you mean the Lopez, yeah.
Not just the Lopez, but so all the member agencies of state water for the last 20 years, we've been paying for this capital expense that gets it over from the valley to us. Well, if Arroyo Grande says, well, we'd just like to buy 1,000 acre feet from you, and we'll buy it at 1,500 acre feet. Well, some of the agencies said, no, you won't. You'll buy it at like 20,000 an acre foot because you have to reimburse us for, you know, the 20 plus years of capital improvements that have been made.
Well, I could see it of the type thing where you're trying to cover what.
And I'm exaggerating with 20,000.
Yeah, no, I got you. But what I'm driving at is I think if you keep it within the county or within the group that is pulling from the county, so to speak.
There is more flexibility there.
Yeah, I would think so. And I think it's something the city really needs to think about in the now, not, you know, 5 or 10 years from now when you kind of get
and
to
we
the
have
point.
Regular state water subcontractors meeting where we talk about that very issue.
Because, I mean,
everybody wants to sell, not buy currently.
Oh, really? Okay. Because, yeah, for me, you know, that was the whole premise of doing this water reclamation facility was to reuse that water. And if you go sending it down the brine pipe and out and through the outfall, you're not going to improve the Pacific Ocean by putting nicer water in it. I'm sorry. You know, that's the part that concerns me, Rob.
Right.
It really does. And so other than that, I thought it was a well-written document. I thought they covered all aspects. I see about three-quarters of these alternatives would probably be non-viable for some reasons just because they don't guarantee you that water, especially the Chorro one. The Chorro one bothers me for a lot of reasons because there's just too much. And I see with the augmentation, as I read, they kind of require the regulatory side of that might be a real, storm, so to speak.
Yes, for a surface water discharge from a wastewater treatment plant.
Yeah, that's I was wondering how you were going to get around that.
It's a difficult permit to do.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was wondering about when I figured that's probably the reason why. In any such case, other than that, I have no other questions regarding it at this point.
So we'll relay these comments back to Carollo, develop a...
Yeah, the executive summary, trust me.
I think that
you'll be well served.
And I think the executive summary with a summary of recommendations in it,
that's what I mean,
John pointed out, would be most valuable.
Yeah.
Because that's what's going to be read of this
would
report.
Would you be willing to send that to us?
We can send that to you as soon as it's developed.
Okay. And then the other thing that kind of popped up and what Steve was talking about, does the county have the right to allocate the drought reserve, which they have? So they sell out about 5,000. They've got 5,000 of the 25,000 acre feet of water is actually subscribed to. Is that right?
About 9,000 acre foot of the water, and then most agencies have also purchased a drought buffer, which is that is reimbursing the countywide taxpayers because even if you're not on state water, you'll see on your tax bill a state water charge on there. It's reserving that excess allocation for if the county
wants to use it, so that drought buffer is reimbursing for that. And it's an insurance policy. It allows you to use some of that 25,000 acre feet, because when the state calculates the allocation for San Luis County, they don't multiply their percentage allocation times the subscribed amount of use. They multiply it times the 25,000 which were allocated. So generally, even in low allocation years, we still get most of our water here in San Luis County.
So does the county have the right to reallocate that drought buffer to other people, or is that ours, to our drought buffer?
Our drought buffer, because we pay for it.
Okay.
We pay pretty good money for that.
And so this reimbursement for the other county people for the state water project, because they don't get water, but we do, is that what that?
That's what that drought buffer is used for.
How does it get to them? How does that reimbursement?
It goes into the, it doesn't go to them directly. It goes back to the county.
Okay. And do you pay the same price for the drought buffer as we do for the regular water, or is it a lower price?
It's a slightly lower price. I will have those numbers before our next meeting, what the costs are. One idea is, as we have a more locally reliable water supply, do we need to purchase drought buffer?
Yeah. Okay.
Which would lower the overall cost of state water. Because the reason for drought buffer is to do a little bit of insurance with interruptibility. Now, it doesn't help us if there's a failure, a pump or a valve failure. You know, we had another one last month where we got a call that state water was being shut down because they needed to replace a valve or fix a valve. It doesn't insure those types of things. But what it does ensure is when allocations are low, that we can be provided that water. And if we have another local water supply, do we need to have a double insurance policy, I guess?
Okay. Well, one other question, Rob, real quick, and this is on that table 7-17. Under the alternative 4A, is that number of the net yield in acre feet of 943 under 4A, is that because that's how much you're pumping into the ground from the wastewater treatment plant? I mean, is that what predicates that number?
It's the amount that's pumped in the ground plus our permitted allotment.
Okay, so you're assuming you're only going to be putting maybe 400 acre feet in from the wastewater treatment plant?
It's not all.
It's not that.
It's
clear.
Not 100% efficient.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I wish things were.
It does
100%.
Include the 500
yes.
plus that you
exactly
you could do today if you wanted to.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okie doke. Yeah. Does anybody else have any other questions or concerns? Okay. Well.
Okay. We'll make these clarifications and forward it on.
Oh. Okay. So. We'll move on to, do you have any potential future agenda items at this time?
We owe you an update on the roundabout or the 41 Main intersection improvements. Likely the preferred alternative will be a roundabout, but an update on that. And likely we will not have in November the Wednesday before Thanksgiving meeting.
Well, what about December? Usually we don't have
we'll
one.
Likely schedule something halfway in between.
Oh, okay.
Do a special meeting, but Janine will be polling the board for prospective dates, and I know Mr. Irwin won't be available.
Well, yeah, December's sometimes tough for people.
Well, probably will be like in the first week-ish of November.
Oh, okay.
We won't try to get it near the holidays. But
Okay. And then so other than that, anything else? I'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting. It says here December 19th, but that's not tied down.
That's not tied down.
Gotcha. Thank you very much.
Thank you.